This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.
Welcome back to this week's edition of Q&A with Layla, part of our regular Intelligent Medicine series. And each week we answer questions. Questions can come to us via radio program at AOL.com with me, Layla Mudin, who's our nutritionist and my collaborator. And so what's our next question, Layla?
Our next question, Steve writes, Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, I bought a bottle of 100 milligram riboflavin from Swanson's. Even a tiny amount, 0.5 milligrams, hyped me up. By hyped up, I mean heart pounding like too much caffeine, and this lasts for hours. My multi has many more times B2, riboflavin, in a dose, and it doesn't hype me at all.
It's hard to believe because multis don't have more than 50 or 100 of the B vitamins. So it's hard to believe that a multi has that much riboflavin.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, 100 milligram. Yeah. But he says even a tiny amount, 0.5 milligram, hype me up on the Swanson's riboflavin. It could be something in their formulation, Steve,
I don't know. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. I'm not sure that this is not an idiosyncratic reaction.
Sure.
I'm not knocking Swanson. Right. What I will say is that the main effect of taking riboflavin is dark, magic marker colored urine.
Yes. That neon yellow.
Like a neon highlighter.
Highlighter colored urine, or even a greenish hue. And that's the excess riboflavin leaving the body.
Yeah.
More than anything. It's the unused riboflavin. The body takes what it needs. The rest is pretty much...
What this person's describing is an idiosyncratic reaction, not a typical reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's see what happens if you overdose on riboflavin.
Riboflavin, by the way, is very good for migraines.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Along with magnesium, other B vitamins.
And it is a little stimulating, potentially, but I've not heard patients say that they're...
Yeah. Well, many of the B vitamins are. They're energy vitamins. Steve, you should try maybe a different brand taking that same kind of dose to see what happens. That's actually very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, take another brand or something and see what happens. What are the possible side effects of riboflavin? Allergic reaction, but that's not this. I don't think this is an allergic reaction. I never heard this.
Yeah, it could be. I wonder if this particular brand is using a yeast derivative or a brewer's yeast type of, nutritional yeast derivative. Maybe that's what Steve is reacting to.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a possibility.
We're a little stumped.
Yeah.
That never happens here.
Yeah, no. Steve, stop taking that.
It doesn't agree with you.
It doesn't agree with you. Don't take it. Pay attention to your body. Thank you for your question. Ah, Dr. Hoffman, we've got another question about blood pressure. Well, not a question, a comment.
Yeah.
Jeff writes, I'm 78 years old. I'm 5'8", 159 pounds. And my blood pressure at the MD's office is usually 150. My BP starts to rise even when I walk into the doctor's office. And the worst time is for me waiting to see the doctor alone in the exam room is murder. When I go to the dentist, it's around 140. He's talking systolic. He's not giving us any diastolic numbers. So 150 at the doctor's office, 140 at the dentist's office. Blood pressure does naturally go up as we age. However,
that is the so-called hardening of the arteries.
Yeah.
There's a stiffening of everything. including the lens of the eye, which doesn't accommodate it well. And so the same thing happens to the arterial walls. It is a little bit an inevitable process, but I think, you know, exercise and diet and heredity can help to stave it off.
Jeff, what I would ask your doctor to do the following, besides taking your blood pressure in the exam room while you're anxiously waiting, have them take your blood pressure again after the visit is completely over. You've calmed down.
Yep.
You're leaving to go home. You're thinking about what you're going to have for lunch or what you're going to do with the rest of your day. And you've calmed down. Have them take your blood pressure then. Dentist's office, too. Again, Dr. Hoffman talked about, I think it was last week's podcast or the previous week, the right way to take blood pressure. Both feet need to be on the floor. You need to be resting comfortably, breathing normally, not in a hurry. Oh, and please don't have any caffeine the day you're going to the doctor, not even decaf.
No constricting clothing. What that does, though, is it does give us a bit of a best case scenario when people are like totally zen, relaxed, calm, chill. And it doesn't reflect what might be happening at other times of the day.
That's true.
I do give some credence to blood pressure that's high under certain stressful circumstances. We don't always just say, oh, well, let's throw out those. So there is a potential problem here, but, you know, another way to get around it is to do home blood pressure determination with a cuff or device that's electronic, and they're pretty accurate. However, some people just get freaked out by that. We had a previous question of a person who said that just the cuff sounds and the pressure just sent him off the rails.
Yeah. A little bit of a Pavlov's dog of, you're going to do what? Measure my blood pressure?
Yep.
Something like that. So,
this is a good point at which to pause because we divide our podcasts. We divide our podcasts, but this is not about that. We allow our sponsors an opportunity to share a message with you. So here goes.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. And now you can try a bottle yourself, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is myfavoriteoliveoil.com. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make our wheels go round and what make these podcasts available to you as a free resource. So support our sponsors. And now back to our Q&A with Layla. Layla, what's our next question?
Okay. Henry writes, hi, my wife has been taking supplements, strontium, etc., recommended by Dr. Hoffman for a few years, and has very good DEXA scan results. So she's happy, and so am I. Recently, she's had some urinary issues, and her doctor is recommending elimination of various foods, yogurt, bananas, etc. Do you know if there's anything in these formulas that would irritate the bladder? Sounds like a little interstitial cystitis, possibly.
Yes, yes.
Or it could be a urinary urgency, which is
different
from IC.
Right.
If this is a case of urinary urgency, Henry, I would implore your wife to give up coffee. Sometimes that alone, and the chocolate, any kind of caffeine source, can cause that feeling of urgency.
Right. Are there supplements that acidify the urine that might create an issue?
Vitamin C can be problematic
possibly
for some people. If you take a buffer form of vitamin C, that could be better.
Our patients with interstitial cystitis are a little sensitive to certain supplements.
That's true.
So my suggestion is, first of all...
coffee is an irritant for IC as well.
Oh, for sure. What I would do is, I would just eliminate all the supplements for a week or two and see if they're implicated.
Yep.
Supplements that are less likely to cause this would be fish oil, vitamin D. They're pretty neutral.
Yeah.
But, you know, it could be, you know, you have to sometimes test it out.
You do. You do. Do give up the caffeine and see if that makes a difference. But beyond that, I imagine that, I think there was a product, I think it's called, if it is interstitial cystitis, for example, Preleaf, bicarb, something like that, which is making the urine, I guess, less acidic is helpful.
Right.
And another reason that coffee is problematic in IC is because of its acidity. So that could be something. And interestingly, cranberry is not great. It's great for a bladder infection or your urinary tract infection, but not great for interstitial cystitis.
Because of its high content of oxalates.
Yeah, yeah. So, oxalate is something else, that's right. It's helpful in eliminating oxalates.
Yeah, Preleaf is, it's a popular over-the-counter product. It's Preleef. And it's, you know, based on, you know, neutralizing the urine acidity.
Mm-hmm. So, Henry, have your wife check in with a nutritionist, because there's a long list of foods that can irritate the bladder that she may need to investigate and try eliminating on her own to see if it brings her any kind of relief.
I'm just pulling up an article here. It says, it sounds promising, neurourology diet and painful bladder.
Hmm.
And what do they conclude here? Workshops on diet. This study on the effects of food and drink. Okay, and I have a table, so let's look at the table. The table includes, as you said, food, drink mm-hmm. containing caffeine, other acidic foods like tomato and vinegar, certain artificial sweeteners.
Ah,
yeah, it's worth trying.
Okay.
Alcoholic drinks, for sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Carbonated drinks and soda.
Right. All the stuff you love.
and highly spiced food, especially with hot pepper.
Oh, okay.
You know, for sure, coffee is a culprit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, booze, beer, you know, et cetera.
Interesting. Interesting. So it is quite a lengthy list, Henry. Your wife would benefit from a consultation. Okay. Let's see here. All right, Dr. Hoffman, here's a question. How important is DHEA for bone mineral density health?
So DHEA is an androgen,
mm-hmm.
and so clearly androgens play a role in bone density. That's one of the reasons why men who have much higher levels of testosterone and DHEA have a lower incidence of osteoporosis, although they're not exempt because men's testosterone and DHEA declines after a certain age,
mm-hmm.
and typically they'll get osteoporosis later, but it can be as severe or as catastrophic as you know, a fracture in a man. Actually, statistically, is more likely to lead to a man's death than in a woman for some reason.
Wow.
It's very compromising for, say, an 80-year-old man to have a hip fracture
mm-hmm.
and then all kinds of calamitous downhill events. It's a slippery slope.
Wow.
Can ensue, you know, with the hospitalization, with the debility, you know, it may exacerbate.
Necrosis of the hip?
Well, yeah. Well. It may cause a, you know, cardiac condition to decompensate, you know, mm-hmm. and then people die.
Yeah.
DHEA is something that you can administer to both sexes
mm-hmm.
pretty
mm-hmm.
safely. It's available over the counter. And it is moderately effective at slowing bone loss.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not doing a lot of heavy lifting to restore bone.
Mm.
So in women who have osteoporosis, and mostly I'm seeing women, although I do see some men, I do look at DHEA levels, and if they're low, I try to restore them to normal.
Yeah.
And in an effort to be holistic and do other things, you know, like calcium and D and K and strontium and so on.
There is an article.
Yeah.
This was actually published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition back in May 2009.
Cool.
Where they looked at women who supplemented with DHEA along with calcium and D, experienced a greater increase in bone density than women who received calcium and vitamin D alone.
Wow, okay.
They randomized 113 men and women aged 65 to 75.
So this is, it built bone, it didn't just...
Yeah. They received 50 milligrams of orally administered DHEA per day for 1 year.
Well, I got to tell you.
That's a lot for women.
That's a lot for women. And many women, when they take that much, will complain of skin problems, acne, hair thinning,
hairline,
a little mustache, you know, sometimes body hair.
Mm-hmm.
I generally try to avoid such high doses in women unless there's a really strong reason.
Yeah.
The reason sometimes is that I do this in some women who have autoimmune disorders like lupus.
Yes.
Lupus has actually been shown to be helped in a study by 200 milligrams of DHEA. But 200 milligrams of DHA is much more likely to cause side effects.
Yeah.
And 50 milligrams in a woman is likely to create a DHA that's not just in the normal range. It won't correct, you know, from low to normal. It'll give you a super high level.
Yeah.
And so...
Which is preferable in autoimmunity.
Yeah, it right? might be preferable in autoimmunity, very serious condition. But since there are more benign ways to address osteoporosis, in my opinion... I wouldn't use 50 milligrams of DHA routinely, and I generally use 5 or 10 with women, at most 20, maybe 25, but not 50.
Yeah.
But, you know, they stack the deck. They use a very high dose, and it was helpful.
Yeah. So, according to the study, they randomized 113 men and women aged 65 to 75 to get the 50 milligrams of orally administered DHA per day or a placebo for 1 year. Then for the second year of the study, all the subjects received 50 milligrams of DHEA, while none received a placebo. But all the participants received a daily regimen of 700 milligrams calcium and 16 micrograms vitamin D for the duration of
the
trial.
Can you translate that? What's that in IU?
The micrograms, I think the factor is 2.6.
Okay.
If you do that, then you'll get the actual IU.
That's not very much.
No, that's not very much. 16 micrograms vitamin D. All right.
I can do the conversion when you talk. Okay.
Yeah. And so the bone mineral density was assessed using, you know, DEXA. Hormones and markers of bone metabolism were measured in blood serum at the beginning of the study and at 1 year and at 2 years. So here's a conclusion. At the 1 year mark, women who received DHEA had an average 1.7% increase in spinal bone density, while those in the placebo group experienced no increase. And when the women who were taking the placebo were switched to DHEA during the second year of the study, bone density improved by 2.6%.
Wow.
Compared to the beginning
so
of the study.
So on its own, it increased the bone density.
Right, right.
So that is a way we can increase bone density.
Mm-hmm.
But, and thank you for sharing that with me, because there may be some instances where women aren't getting the full benefits with the other things we're doing.
Yeah.
And we could amp up the DHEA if they tolerate it.
Yes.
If they tolerate it. So in terms of the skin oiliness and so on.
Right.
I have a conversion for you.
Hmm.
1,000 IUs is 25 micrograms per day of vitamin D.
So this is 16 micrograms.
Which is like 400.
Yeah, not a whole lot.
No, it's maybe 800.
I wonder then.
No, not even that.
It's, yeah.
That's not much.
That's not much.
Inadequate. I wonder if they'd used really decent amounts of vitamin D.
What would happen if they get better than a 1.7% increase or the 2.6% increase? And then those, estradiol, insulin-like glucose, IGF-1, and testosterone increased with DHEA supplementation, which is what it would do because DHEA is a substrate. Where those hormones are derived. And bone turnover markers decreased in both groups during the first year and remain decreased in year two. So, you know, when I look at our case studies, Dr. Hoffman, and you and I have done the Osteoporosis Summit over the years, in our own case studies, we've seen reversal of osteopenia, of osteoporosis to osteopenia and osteopenia to normal bone health with the inclusion of DHEA in, I would say, almost all of those case studies.
Yes.
In addition to the magnesium,
but
the
not
D,
that much.
The K.
But not that much.
Not that much. Right. So this is all very interesting.
Right.
Yeah.
So the fault in that study, in my opinion, is that they didn't give them very much vitamin D.
No, not at all.
They didn't give them that much calcium either, but we know that it's not about massive
700 milligrams. We
That's
probably
plenty.
Don't want to go
That's
above
plenty.
That
That's
because
plenty.
Nobody has a calcium deficiency,
mm-hmm.
really. It's rare anyway. So that's something to consider.
Okay.
So DHEA is indeed important
in
bone mineral
and
density.
And let's speak to the issue of men. You know, in men who have osteoporosis, it's a lot easier because we definitely can give them 50 milligrams of DHEA.
Yes.
Most men will tolerate that. And in addition, we might look at their testosterone. If they're low in testosterone, we might give them testosterone and build their bone that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, That about wraps it up.
That about wraps it up for this week. So thank you for listening. Thanks for supporting this podcast. Again, we've reached our 5 million podcast download. We probably way surpassed it because that was on Thanksgiving. And you're part of our success. So thanks for listening.
And keep sending those questions.
And keep us in mind for your holiday listening as things slow down. Mm-hmm. Maybe you'll have a little more time to catch up on some of our previous podcasts, which are valuable. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Radio program at AOL.com is the destination for questions. Today with Layla Mutin, our nutritionist. And we'll be back with more of Q&A with Layla next week. Join us.